Music in life, life in stereo. Patchwork Radio. It is episode 18 of Patchwork Radio. I'm your host, Derek Hadowin. First off, just want to thank everyone for always tuning in, favoriting, you know, the episodes, following the show on Mixcloud, SoundCloud, getting a lot of listens on iTunes, Google Play, and various other online platforms. But first off, also just want to thank everyone who's had some sort of involvement into making this show what it is. You know, the help of my pal Joel Johnson, who has co-hosted with me and has done a lot of behind the scenes work. Shout out to you, man. And also, just the talents that I've been able to talk to, reminisce with, reaching out to friends first and foremost is always important to me. And being able to, you know, talk to bands and, you know, artists of every kind, really, DJs, authors, just a big shout out to everyone who's helped out and really just kind of getting me to this point. And I'm just completely humbled by the fact that in this episode, I'm going to be talking to Robbie Takac, bassist and founder of the Goo Goo Dolls, none other than the Goo Goo Dolls. We're going to be chatting about his roots in our great city of Buffalo, the current tour going on right now with the Goos. They just played here recently. They played Darien, I think, like the seventh or eighth time, which is awesome. And just generally Robbie's dedication to the Music is Art Foundation and the upcoming Music is Art Festival at a brand new location on Saturday, September 9th at Buffalo Riverworks. We'll be talking about that. And in honor of Robbie being with me on this episode, and really just, you know, his band, the Goo Goo Dolls, coming into their own in the 90s, I wanted to base this episode around that. So you're going to hear some great alt-rock throwback tracks from the likes of Dig and Teenage Fan Club. I'm also going to feature some covers of Teenage Fan Club tracks on the heels of the brand new release from Benjamin Gibbard, Death Cab for Cutie's frontman. First up, though, one of the most underrated groups, I believe, during the whole alternative boom of the 90s. One that I liken to Soul Coughing's avant-garde sort of approach at times. Fronted by Mark Oliver Everett, simply known by the stage name E, the band I'm referring to is the Eels, formed back in the mid-90s in Los Feliz, California. They are up to 11 studio albums at this point. Incredible. Their last one released back in 2014. It has pretty much been, for all intents and purposes, a solo effort the whole way through for Mark Oliver Everett. But his first two albums were released simply as E before changing the band name to the Eels, and that was his attempt back in the day to keep his releases and his works right after one another in record stores. So when you are flipping through, you know, the days of categorizing and alphabetizing in record stores like I used to do in a lot of the indie record shops, and I enjoyed that too. So weird, I know. But this track that I'm going to play for you is one that started it all for me. It contains a Fats Domino sample in it as well from his song Let the Four Winds Blow. This one, starting it off, it's Novocaine for the Soul, the Eels on Patchwork Radio.
Life is hard, and so am I. You better give me something so I don't die. Thank you.
Hey, this is Derek Hadwin, and you are listening to
Patchwork Radio.
Yeah.
start.
All right, let's run down the last set. You just heard a 90s-esque track from a band called The Wigs from Athens, Georgia. Love that song, released in 2008, but has the sonic qualities, I think, that harken back to a lot of the great alt-rock of the last decade of the millennium. Before that, one that I always go back to by a group called Dig. Track was called Believe. And as mentioned before, kicking things off, The Eels from 1996 with Novocaine for the Soul. I'm Derek Hadowin for Patchwork Radio. Yes, a discussion coming up very soon, so stay tuned, with a man known affectionately, in these parts at least, as Robbie Goo. Yes, Robbie Takac from the Goo Goo Dolls has devoted his time to speak with me. Completely gracious that he was willing to do so. And in keeping with the 90s vibe in this episode, it's fitting that there is a recent release from one Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie. Now, he releases solo works. He prefers to be called Benjamin Gibbard as a solo artist. But he has cited throughout his career that one of his most favorite and influential bands for him is the Scottish alt-indie quartet Teenage Fan Club, and he's just released an homage to these legends with a song-for-song recorded tribute to their third studio release, 1991's Bandwagon-esque. Listen, I completely agree with Mr. Gibbard in that this record and this band was hugely influential to me growing up. I feel like they are sometimes oversighted, not ever really getting the full attention that they deserve. However, when that happens to certain bands, when wider fame graces artists, the outcome is less than desirable most often. So I, for one, am fine with the fact that this band has kind of chugged along the way that they have. But it isn't that Teenage Fan Club hasn't went through their career with no notoriety. Bandwagon-esque was actually voted, this is by Spin Magazine, voted Album of the Year in 1991. Do you want to know what other album came out in 1991? Nirvana, Nevermind. All right? Did Spin have that right? They may have, not by record sales. In 2006, the album was also performed live in its entirety as part of the All Tomorrow's Parties curated by the Don't Look Back series. The concept, the first track off that album, has been covered by Jimmy Eat World. Actually was released on the 2004 album Futures. So plenty of great artists paying respect to Teenage Fan Club. And then, as I mentioned, on July 28th, less than a month ago, Benjamin Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie released Bandwagon-esque, an album covering all 12 tracks of the original 1991 release, again saying it's his favorite record by his favorite band of all time. They've definitely drawn comparisons and were hugely influenced by Big Star as well. So in this set, we're going to hear Benjamin Gibbard's cover of Star Sign from that recent release, and then closing this set will be an amazing cover of Teenage Fan Club's Start Again by Counting Crows off of their cover album Underwater Sunshine, or What We Did on Our Summer Vacation. That's the full title there. Going to kick this set off, though, with one of my favorite alt-rock tunes of all time. No joke. It's called December, and it's Teenage Fan Club on Patchwork Radio.
Tell my friends
I'm Derek Hadowin, and you are tuned in to Patchwork Radio. At this time, I'm extremely stoked to have with me Robbie Tackhack. You know him, bassist, singer, and founding member of the one and only Goo Goo Dolls. Robbie, so gracious that you have taken the time out of your busy schedule. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm in the middle of downtown Boston in our tour bus, staring at a eclectic bunch of folks walking down the street here, man.
Right.
It's all good, though.
You get that same vibe in Buffalo, and I know you guys were just here. How's the tour going?
Oh, it's going good, man. We're about 19 shows in, something like that, 21 shows in, something like that. Yeah. So it's going good. We have probably another 20 to go. We're nearly half full.
Nice.
Or half finished at this point.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, but it's all good, man. Everything's great.
That's awesome. And I know you guys were just in Darien recently, actually over this past weekend. Unfortunately, I'm kicking myself. I couldn't make it to this one. Seen you guys so many times. Heard from several friends in attendance that it was just an amazing performance. I know you guys gave a shout out to your Continental days, which is near and dear to my heart, too.
Yeah, man. You know, it's funny when you play Buffalo. Like, you know, you look out in the crowd and, you know, occasionally you see somebody you know at these shows, but like, you know, the Buffalo show is literally like, you know, 90 minutes of going, oh man, there's that dude I went to high school with. Oh man, there's my, you know, my seventh grade teacher, you know, like just freaky.
That's surreal.
Freaky scene. Yeah.
And you know, and over the years too, and you're making me think back a little bit. I will never forget, as I'm sure most people won't, the most epic torrential downpour concert of all time. 4th of July, right? 2004, I believe, in front of Buffalo City Hall. You're probably still drying out from that one, right?
Yeah, well, we actually redid it at Music is Art a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, pretty much the exact same rainstorm came and blessed us that night too.
That's
yeah,
right. So. No kidding. So, yeah, so there's a lot I want to get to in this discussion. But, you know, first off, if you can just give us some insight into your upbringing and roots, you know, in the Buffalo area and how important this area is to you. And just also, you know, what early musical influences were a factor in you coming up in the scene here.
Yeah, I was born in South Buffalo and grew up in West Seneca and moved to the Elmwood area. Probably about 82. And my cousin was playing in a band with Johnny called the Beaumonts. And I came in and they were sort of like, you know, one of those suburban post-punk kind of bands, you know, a lot to do with, you know, Dead Nasty, Minor Threat, like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were making their way around doing some stuff, and John and I met and started hanging out and just became super good friends and sort of realized that maybe the two of us, kind of along with our old drummer George, who I was playing with as well, mm-hmm. kind of had some interesting things that we, some interesting influences. You know, John was, you know, he grew up, you know, with indie punk rock and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I grew up with, you know, Black Sabbath and you know, Deep Purple and
right.
stuff like that.
The sludgy stuff.
Yeah, my life. And George was more into like, like the mod scene and that kind of stuff. And so kind of the three of us together, you know, he's blending all these influences together, made these totally scrappy but oddly melodious records were super, super early on.
Right.
And I think at that point, quite honestly, it was just about trying to keep making music that we felt was going somewhere from where we were the last time. And you know, I guess you give that 30 years to incubate,
right.
you know, you go from that band that played at CBGB's in 86 to, you know, this thing that we got now, which, you know, has definitely grown. But it's funny, like record to record, I've got piles of reviews saying that we put the same record out over and over again,
no.
You know, but it's funny because, you know, you give it time and like, you know, this progression happens, you know, obviously they weren't the same records, but, you know, they didn't stray so far from the last one, you know, that we lost everybody in the way, you know, in the process of growing, you know.
Right. And that's got to be such an amazing thing. I mean, you kind of touched on it already, just coming back and playing in front of, you know, noticing people in the crowd. But I guess just with all the popularity that the Goo Goo Dolls have earned over the years, it is nice to be able to come back and know that you, you know, the city embraces you. I mean, for the fact that you came up, you know, in the punk scene, you did what you did then, but then you were able to figure out a formula and a way to kind of start crafting the songs that you have done over your career. So that's an incredible thing.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, like, you know, like in a place like Buffalo, you know, like the civic pride sort of carried a lot of those punk rockers over, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And you know, in the circular fashion, that the world works, that we work, we don't leave all those influences 100% behind us, you know. Right. And I think that's the difference between a band like us and, you know, the other 40 bands that had hits, you know, coming up at that same time that we did. You know, those bands probably had more in common, you know, with some other types of influences.
Absolutely.
That we did, you know.
And their staying power, obviously, that you guys have obviously proven, but their staying power when bands come from really blue collar settings, like you mentioned being in Boston, like I love that city to be able to go there and see shows. And Buffalo has always had such a great music scene, as you know, and we'll discuss your contributions back to that as well, but just such a great music scene over the years, both in punk and hardcore and all different sorts of music. And it's nice that we've finally gotten to a point in Buffalo where I don't think you really have to apologize for being here anymore.
I know. It's true.
It's like there's a renaissance.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, we got a couple, you know, Don and I got a bunch of guys we've been playing with for years, that travel with us. And they, you know, and they laugh about it sometimes. They're like, you know, there's bands from city, you know, every band is from a city. Like, why are you guys the band from Buffalo? You know, it's like, you know, like, I mean, there's very few bands like we are just synonymous with being from Buffalo, you know, and like most bands, you don't even know where they're from, you know, it's just, they're just a band,
yeah,
you know, but
right.
For some reason it connects to us. But I do think it's exactly that, what you just said. I think it was almost like a feeling that you had to go, oh, Buffalo, oh man, what are you kidding me? You know, like, you know, like 20 years ago, you know, people were like, oh my God, what, you guys came from where? You know, like, oh my God, I didn't think anything happened there, you know, like, and we were always super defensive about it, you know? So when people would ask us about it, we'd go on and on and on. And I think that sort of became, you know, part of the, I remember for a while, I don't know where this came from. It's like, oh, you guys like to go bowling and da 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 and all this stuff. And we'd be laughing. We'd be like, well, not really, but you know, it's like, you know, it's a real place, man. And you know, real people live there. And you guys should really come check it out someday. You know, it's like, it's not all bowling and fried food, you know. It's like, you know,
chicken wing sauce just embedded in our fingernails, right? I mean, that's like what Buffalo
is. and you know, I've never been a big sports fan. I took a different route in my life very early on, you know. But it really is amazing. Like, I feel like an outsider when it comes to sports, you know. Like, I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, hey man, go Bills, go Sabres, whatever, you know. But like, you know, it doesn't change my day. You know what I mean?
It doesn't mine either. I agree.
Yeah. But it's amazing to see what happened to the psyche of our city, man.
Oh man.
All that Super Bowl stuff, man, it was just like, what is going on, man?
Yeah. Just zombies walking around ready to chew off Norwood's head. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's almost like Buffalo themselves fell for it. Like they fell for it. Everyone went, oh, five times. You guys are five-time losers. And like the city fell for it. Like it wasn't just like, oh man, our football team lost a bunch of times. It's like, oh my God, we're losers, you know? And my ex-wife was she worked for Vital Statistics Bureau. And I'm going to be partially making these numbers up, man. But like the the amount of domestic violence that happened in the city of Buffalo after those Super Bowl losses, the rise in domestic violence was insane.
Is that right?
Because people just lost their fucking minds, man, you know? so like, on one hand, I love it. Much like I love Barney the dinosaur, you know, like anything that can make people crazy or, you know, like, I'm like, Jesus, how did they do that? You know?
Right. That's like, something to take note of for sure. And that's why we're punk rockers.
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, I mean, it blows my mind that someone could be that into it, you know, but like at the same time, it's like, you know, to invest like your self-worth. And it's crazy to me. And like, it really felt from afar, because I was traveling all around the country when that was going on, man. Right. And it really felt from afar, like, you know, I was watching everybody and going, come on, you guys, what are you doing?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, yeah. come on, everybody get up, you know, everybody get up, let's do this, you know? But man, it really is amazing to see what's going on there.
It is, for sure. I mean, and that is the city of Buffalo. I mean, good or bad, it's like, you're right. I mean, just speaking of sports, every year it comes around, people are so gung-ho. And that, I mean, it's a good thing, but there comes a point where it's like, dude, really? You think it's going to happen again? But, you know, everybody gets behind it in the same way that the workhorse sort of atmosphere that we have always had here in music. And I mean, it goes hand in hand, but that is
absolutely
noted. So basically what you're saying is, don't be a diehard Bills fan, be married, and drink a fifth of Jack Daniels. That is
a bad concoction.
I think,
you know, like, for a long time, it was like, you know, our football team, because that was really the only visible thing, you know, that was coming out of the city, and deep fried discarded chicken parts, you know, like that's about what everybody knew the city for. But it's amazing now, like, really, like, I talk to people now and from like completely unrelated places, and like, they bring up to me, wow, man, Buffalo's like starting to become happening now, isn't it?
That's
you
awesome.
Know, like, I think they're doing a good job of getting the word out there that there's actually like some stuff going on, and there's some, you know, there's some culture there to
For
pay
sure.
attention to, you know, and, you know, I think, you know, the culture, if it wasn't in, you know, red, white, and blue with a charging animal on the side of it, you know, there was no real feeling of culture outside of the city,
right,
as people looked in. But like, now that, you know, people are starting to become more and more aware of what's going on, you know, and I think, you know, the city itself has become much more inviting too. You know, it's not just terrifying place that the people in the suburbs, you know, went into go to federal court if they had to, and
right.
that's about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and there's always such a great, I mean, cultural center here for music and the arts, and obviously you have a huge influence over that. I mean, you know, I'm tooting your horn here, but listen, I mean, come on, the Music is Art Festival. Let's talk about that real quick, too. It's happening Saturday, September 9th, and it's at a brand new, incredible location, Buffalo River Works. Robbie, just what brought about the decision to hold the event here, and share some insight into this year's festival, if you can.
Well, we were in what I considered for a long time the absolute perfect place to do the festival, which was Delaware Park. Mm-hmm. But of the last 9 years, this is our 15th year this year, of the last 9 years, five of those years rained. And I don't know if it's the time of year. I don't know if it's some bad karmic debt I'm paying for something I did in high school. I'm not sure what it is, but irregardless, that's what the situation was. So we had been approached by Riverworks numerous times over the past few years as they were starting to build about perhaps moving down there. And it just seemed like it was time for a bit of a wake up, you know, after the rain last year, because the last 4 hours were rained out last year.
It was crazy at the end of the night. So me and my buddy were actually spinning the Rose Garden stage at the end of the night, and we got about a half. Actually, I saw you walk by. I waved. I don't know if you remember. But we were spinning, and we got about a half hour in, and the vibe was great, and this is great. And then my buddy's looking at the radar. I'm like, would you put that away? I swear to God, I'm going to fucking lose it. And then it just opened up. And then I do remember the year before, too, I was at the WBNY reggae stage, and it was just – torrential that year too.
Yeah,
but and,
yeah.
It, and it's unfortunate because it does put a damper on something that is so well organized and well run, and I've seen it over the years. But
Well, you know, the funny thing was, is like when it was over, it was like I was talking to people, and it was actually a great day right up until that happened.
It was beautiful. It was really hot.
But like,
I remember.
Yeah, but like as soon as it happened, you know, like the next day I was running into people, and you know, I don't know if you've ever had anyone close to you pass away, mm-hmm. but my God, that's what it felt like when I was walking up to people.
Oh,
you know, they're like, "Oh, dude, I'm sorry, man." You know, and I'm like. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't have this attached to this.
You're
right
getting
now.
Like condolences,
cards
in the mail,
you know,
and everything.
That's not what this is about, you
right.
know? So I spent some time you know, really soul searching about how to make this happen. Because, you know, when we started out in Delaware Park, we had two stages, man.
Mm-hmm.
And over 9 years it grew to 15, man.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that elsewhere?
Right.
You know, like, how do you make it happen? So, you know, we did our best to try to, work with the resources that were down there. And the good thing about Riverworks now is that there's an awful lot of ground to cover. Like, there's the parking lots and there's silos, and there's old bombed out looking
it's
buildings
incredible.
And yeah,
it's such an incredible spot.
And,
yeah.
And yeah. And in a 3,000 person main room, you know, with the second floor that we're doing silent discos in, and we got a film festival this year.
Oh, is that right? That's cool.
Yeah. And using the smaller, hockey dressing rooms as screening rooms, and there's so much room, you know, to kind of expand what we're doing, and so we've been doing our best to try to get in. I've been on tour now, you know, for a while here too, so I spent, you know, the past couple of months down there pretty much daily kind of trying to get it to work out, and it looks like it's going to be great.
That's awesome. And as you mentioned, in your 15th year, congratulations on that. Obviously, let's not forget what kind of spawned it. I know that's the Music is Art Foundation, which it was back in, what, about 2003, I think you founded that, which definitely just has a profound impact on the Western New York musical community through various programs. You do industry workshops, strong focus on just keeping music in our schools. I mean, how do you take it all in after all these years, just through the vision that you had and the dedication that you mentioned that you put towards it still, to kind of see MIA, you know, it, as a whole flourish like this?
Well, a lot of it's, you know, the people you got making it happen. You know, Tracy Shattuck, who's our executive director, is pretty amazing, man. She was the festival coordinator for a while. We've gone through some executive directors through the years who have done some amazing things, but I have to say she's really kind of brought this thing to a point now where, you know, I mean, we got busy, like Goo Goo Dolls got so busy again, and you know, I don't think without her help and you know, the other 50 people, you know, that are helping out, you know, on a weekly basis as well. Like, you know, without all those people, I don't think we could make this happen, you know?
Right.
And, yeah.
That's hugely important. You can never do it alone, as you know. And I know, like, year round, you guys are doing fundraisers and different events too, as well. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a board of directors and, you know, who are pretty dedicated to the idea, and a bunch of committees that run all the separate programs. So,
that's awesome.
You know, yeah, it's really broken out in a pretty cool way. And, you know, we're always trying to expand and try to find new things to do, you know, as the world changes, you know, and, you know, the resources change, you know, there's more and more cool ideas out there, more ways to get people involved too.
That's awesome. Well, I'm hoping to be there again this year on the reggae stage. I'm talking to my buddy about a little bit earlier slot. I have a gig later that night, so I'm hoping to be back. I'm going to riff up another two-tone ska set in your honor.
Awesome,
the
brother.
Selector.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm always coming back, even if I'm getting so I'm a prima donna too, so I don't like getting wet. And I'm coming back to the Music is Art Festival. All right, seriously.
Awesome, man.
I mean, yeah. So awesome. So once again, the 15th annual Music is is our festival happening on Saturday, September 9th, as we were talking about. Brand new location, Buffalo River Works on Ganson Street. Don't want to miss it. It's an all-day event starting at 11 a.m., and that's not shutting down until later this year, right? 2 a.m.? Did I see that?
Yeah, some of the stages shut down at 11, but a few of the stages will run straight through to 2 a.m. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Over 100 bands performing, 7 different stages, 8 DJ stages. Yours truly will be there. Not to mention exhibiting artists, spoken word, performance art, pretty much anything you want to see, you know, true talent at these events. As always, the event is free, something you don't want to miss. Find all the info online at musicisart.org. Robbie, once Woo-hoo! Again, man, there you go. Would you like that plug? I practiced that 5 times.
Love it. Good job, man.
Once again, thank you kindly for taking the time to chat with us on Patchwork Radio. You know, this show is really my way to just contribute back to the Buffalo music scene in some small way, and having you be a part of it is just a tremendous honor. Makes producing this show totally worthwhile.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time, dude.
Yeah, man, for sure. In honor of Robbie's guest spot on this show, I'm going to spin a set of my favorite Goo Goo Dolls tracks throughout the years, starting with the opening track off their brand new 5-song EP. This one's called Tattered Edge. You should be happy. It's the Goos on Patchwork Radio.
From the Goo Goo Dolls, and music is art, and you are listening to Patchwork Radio. So listen hard. Do it.
are listening to Patchwork Radio with special guest Robbie Takak of the Goo Goo Dolls. A set of the Goos, some way back tracks from their punk rock days. Just spun for you a track called No Way Out from their 1989 album Jed, and a track I've always loved from their 1993 release, Superstar Car Wash, which was a part of my coming of age soundtrack. Hugely significant to me. The song is called String of Lies. Robbie Takak sharing the vocal duties on that one with Johnny Resnick. And a brand new one by the boys off of a recent 5-song EP released in May. One that definitely reminds me of their early 90s stuff. It was called Tattered Edge. You Should Be Happy. Robbie was so freaking cool to talk to. It was just an awesome discussion. One thing we did not get a chance to discuss, though, was his record label, Good Caramel, which was formed back in 2003, primarily signing some local talents that we will hear in this show's closing set. It has catered now to some female-fronted Japanese rock bands, including current roster acts Shonen Knife and the always fun to say Pinky Doodle Poodle. Some former acts, including some good friends of mine, the Juliet Dagger. Shout out to my man, Josh Heatley on drums, who is integral in putting this episode together and has helped with this show, played in several bands with this freaking outstanding drummer, an amazing dude. He is going to co-host an upcoming, probably in the next couple of months, we're going to try to put it together. It's going to potentially be a 2-part Buffalo punk rock scene episode. Can't wait to do that with my man, Josh. We're going to hear a track from 2007, The Juliet Dagger. It's called Taking It Back. And then to close it out, another great Buffalo-based group, Last Conservative, that my old bands was able to play with, the bands that I was in. Closing it out with their track called Pretty New Things. Thank you for listening. Once again, thank you to Robbie Takak from the Goo Goo Dolls to lend his time. It's great to talk with a person who obviously has encountered a ton of popularity and a ton of fame in a widely known band and just be so down to earth, so heartfelt. The dude is dedicated. caring. He loves the Buffalo music scene, and he gives back to it in such a tremendous way. And he's just a punk rock dude at heart. I mean, love that dude. Robbie, thanks so much for your time. And check out the show's page, as always, on Facebook.com/Patchwork Radio 1. Hit me up on Twitter at Patchwork Radio 1. Until you listen again, this is Derek Hadowin for Patchwork Radio. Let's close it out with some bands on Good Karma Records. Oh, my God. Robbie Goo's label, Good Karmel, Juliet Dagger, and Last Conservative. Here you go. Listen to Patchwork Radio on Mixcloud, SoundCloud, Podomatic, and stream and download complete episodes on iTunes.
Lord, please.
death of my generation. We are bleeding for